This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel, and in this part of the program, some thoughts on leadership. We're at the start of a long process of selecting a president, so what qualities do we associate with a good leader?
Courage, imagination.
One who inspires others to do good things.
Sincere. I think they need to be credible in what they say. You know, they need to care about the people they're leading.
Most importantly is honesty, integrity.
Last week, I went to talk about leadership with people who live somewhere that's often decisive in choosing our leaders.
Welcome, Robert, to the great state of Ohio and the great city of Columbus.
That's Xenia Palace of the Columbus, Ohio Visitors Bureau, our tour guide. Ohio has been closely contested in recent presidential elections. It's a state that is part Appalachian, part Northeastern, part Midwestern. Columbus is its white-collar boomtown.
It's a very big city.
It's the most populous city in Ohio nowadays.
Yes, it is, much to the chagrin of Cleveland and Cincinnati as well.
We start out at the center of Columbus, the State House. This is the capital of Ohio, and the State House is where the legislature sits.
So we're walking into the crypt, which is the basement, for all practical purposes, of the State House.
We dropped in on a new occupant of the State House who was elected last fall.
This is Ted Strickland. I am the governor of Ohio.
And for this former Democratic congressman, leadership means?
I think it means that a person is willing to make decisions, even if it causes themselves and people they deeply care about some pain.
For example, saying no to a longtime supporter in the making of a budget. One thing Strickland has done to try to lead more effectively was move out of a 30th floor office nearby and into the governor's old and seldom used ceremonial office in the State House. Now he's in there with the legislators.
It puts me sort of in the middle of things.
Not the Wizard of Oz anymore up in the...
Not the Wizard of Oz. And I've had Republican legislators say to me, I have spent more time with you than I spent with the previous governor over the last 4 or 6 years, in large part because of where I'm physically located.
Governor Strickland believes in leadership by deed as well as word. As a congressman, he paid for his own health insurance rather than take a good government benefit when other Americans don't get their health insurance paid for. And he's carried on that practice as governor.
And I'm doing that not because I'm a goody-two-shoes kind of guy or sanctimonious or think that I am more righteous than others. I do it as a way of self-discipline and of making sure that I never lack an awareness of how much health care costs. And I'm glad I've done that.
So far, Strickland's ideas about leadership seem to be working. He got a state budget passed unanimously in a season when other governors were at loggerheads with legislators. Of course, the state capitol is only the second biggest attraction on our tour of Columbus, Ohio, with Xenia Palace.
We're at the Ohio State University. Looking to the west is the famous Oval, where, talk about some history. If you were here in the 60s, all the demonstrations, the sit-ins, everything was happening right there.
And if you were here in the 70s, you probably got to see this man.
I'm Archie Griffin, president and CEO of the Ohio State University Alumni Association. I attended Ohio State University, played football here, had some success, ended up winning a couple Heisman trophies, and I'm back and delighted to be here.
Now, just to underscore the point, no one else has ever won a couple of Heisman trophies as the best college football player in the country. No one's done it twice. What's leadership to Archie Griffin?
The ability to listen, the ability to motivate, inspire, and guide, but most importantly is honesty, integrity.
Griffin grew up in Columbus, raised by hardworking parents who put 8 kids through college. His father worked 3 jobs. When he talks about qualities of leadership, he speaks of his father, of his coach at Ohio State, Woody Hayes, of Martin Luther King, and of the one contemporary figure whose name tends to come up in these conversations.
I think Colin Powell's a great leader. And one of the quotes that he had in his book, I wrote down, he says that the day soldiers stop bringing you their problems is the day you have stopped leading them. They have either lost confidence that you can help them or concluded you do not care. Either case is a failure of leadership. And to me, Colin Powell recognizes what leadership is.
Ohio State is also a major employer in Columbus. We brought together a group of union shop stewards for the Communications Workers of America, some of whom work for the university, like Kevin Key and Teresa Hardgrove. What do they think a leader has to possess?
He needs to have a vision that's for everybody, and a vision that includes the everyday common man.
I think that they have to listen to the people.
Serve the people, they said, and that includes people in need of food and medicine. Linda Farnsworth, who works for AT&T, raised the same cautions as her fellow shop stewards when considering who might make a good leader as president. She says, forget about campaign speeches, forget about the media and advertising, just check the track record. But how do you judge people whom you only get to glimpse through the mass media, which you don't trust?
I got to be honest, sometimes it just comes down to your gut. And I know that's not a very eloquent answer, but sometimes, for me at least, it's just how I feel about it personally.
But you're checking your gut to see, as unforeseen challenges arise over the next few years, is this person going to be thinking what's best for me somehow? You got to somehow make that decision about somebody in a very imperfect world.
And sometimes it's an imperfect decision.
We met with the communications workers at a union hall that's a converted firehouse. It's not far from a Columbus neighborhood that Xenia Palace of the Visitors Bureau took us to. It's an upcoming area for 20 and 30-somethings.
We're standing in the Short North. Great arts districts. A lot of young people live here.
And this is a project for this city to keep young people here.
As a matter of fact, we have over 100,000 students in the greater Columbus area, and so we want to be able to keep some of that brain trust here.
People like three members of a young professional group, all of them just around age 30, who told me what they think leadership entails. There was freelance designer Bryce Bunner.
I think confidence is a large one. Obviously, integrity.
And CPA Scott Mustrick.
They have to be a great communicator. They have to stick to their core beliefs and make decisions. It may not always be the popular decision, but make the right decision that's really best for the long term.
And Christopher Chung, who works for the state of Ohio.
I think empathy, some ability to relate to the people that they're representing. I think it's tough to imagine some people on the national stage having been able to relate to a large majority of the population. I think conviction's important, but you also have to be willing to admit when perhaps you've made a mistake. So a flexibility to different perspectives and ideas.
And Chris Chung said something about presidential leadership that addresses the mistrust of America that he's encountered in travels abroad.
At the end of the day, based just on my own personal experiences, I want someone who exemplifies how great a country I think this is.
Because it is a great country, he says, and it has lost much in the esteem of the world. All three of these young professionals agreed that something in the way we choose a president doesn't necessarily find the best leader. Chris Chung said there are no accidental presidents, meaning we choose from among people who want it so much that they'll endure a torturous process. In a talk with a handful of people who've worked with Leadership Columbus, both lawyer Jim Flynn and Lynn Bowman, who lobbies for gay, lesbian, and transgendered Ohioans, both said, our political leaders are not our best leaders.
No way. I think there is absolutely no way that we're well served in that area. And I use as my reference points for that the notion that I've met a number of people in my life who I thought would be excellent leaders and who themselves have said, I could do that job, but I would not want to go through what comes with being an elected official. The election process and the campaigning process turns off people that are probably better qualified than the people that we have.
Absolutely. I agree with Jim. I think that there are a number of folks out there who would be really, really strong national leaders on the political scene. And there are so many things that are unattractive to it that it drives them away. And I think that hurts us as a nation.
So is the private sector possibly a better source of leadership? In Columbus, the most conspicuous business has practically developed a downtown neighborhood that Xenia Palace took us to.
We're standing on what used to be the Columbus Penitentiary. And a few years later, we're in this wonderful new development in the Arena District, thanks to the efforts of Nationwide Insurance Company and some other visionary leaders in the city. And we've got the Nationwide Arena to my left, where just 2 weeks ago we had the NHL draft. It was just a hoppin' fun town.
Okay, Xenia Palace is a professional booster, but the footprint of Nationwide Insurance is so deep and wide in Columbus, we dropped in on the CEO, Jerry Jurgensen, to hear what life in the corporate world has taught him about leadership.
People follow answers. They don't follow diagnoses. So I believe you absolutely have to convey both a sense of realism, but also a sense of optimism.
And Jerry Jurgensen tells this story about becoming head of the company.
I realized sort of a month or two into the job when I closed the door one day and said, you know, I've spent my whole life trying to get here, and now I'm here, and I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do or how I'm supposed to do it. But prior to having it, I thought I knew exactly what my boss had to do. And a lot of that is the higher you go in organizational life, the less it is about you and the more it is about what you've surrounded yourself with. The irony is, if you get in a position like that and you've surrounded yourself with people brighter than you, which should be job one, then not to listen to them is the real insanity of it all.
So that scene at the end of the old political Robert Redford movie, The Candidate, when they get elected and then they turn and say, now what do we do? This rings a bell with you, then.
Yeah, absolutely it does.
Columbus's representative in Congress, Republican Deborah Price, also talks about the importance of listening, and she talks about a way of being.
I think for the most part, people just need to be themselves to be good leaders.
A leader needs to be authentic, then?
Authentic, absolutely. I think one needs to know themselves, to accept themselves, to be themselves, and then to apply themselves in ways that can bring others to the cause.
Ask a group of Americans what a leader should do, and they all seem to say a leader should say no. But no one says, say no to me first. The folks I met in Columbus attached relatively little importance to specific achievements in the military or business or graduating at the top of the class. Most said that our selection of political leaders is a process rife with fakery and pandering. And as for the presidential campaigning that will produce a leader, nearly everyone said, please, not yet. If you have your own ideas about what leadership means, we'd like to hear them. Please send us your submissions by going to our website, npr.org, and clicking Contact Us at the top of the page, and write leadership in the subject line.